Okay, well, let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Chapter 13 of the Gospel of John. And this is a sermon called Jesus Loves His Own, part 2. So we're looking at the same passage from last week because there is just so much here. Let me read us this passage again. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. This is the Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed need not wash except for his feet. But he is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Let's pray. Father, what a great delight it is to learn from your word and to reflect on your works. God, give us a heart this morning, an open heart to you and to the love of Christ that knows no bounds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I went downstairs the other day in the parsonage where we live down the street. My daughters were watching some show. Gabby's Playhouse, maybe something like that. And Amelia and Annalise are down there, you know, munching on some carrots or something. And I listened to it for a second. And it was at the end of the show. It was kind of, you know, wild and crazy time. And the song was "Celebrate Your Sparkle." Celebrate Your Sparkle. And I kind of got the gist of what "Celebrate Your Sparkle" means. But I wondered how much my children were taking in. Were they getting what "Celebrate Your Sparkle" means? Maybe you guys have seen this Gabby's Playhouse, and you already know, too. So I said, "Amelia, what is "Celebrate Your Sparkle"?" And without missing a beat, it was like, boom, right away, she knew the answer. I'm like, man, if they only knew the answer to like the things that I teach them so fast, right? She said, "Celebrate Your Sparkle is this, Daddy. It means knowing exactly what you like to do, doing it, and then celebrating it." Knowing exactly what you like to do, doing it, and celebrating it, right? And that's good. I mean, that's a good thing, right? What I'm going to tell you today is not that you shouldn't care about what you like. I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't do what you like, and I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't celebrate yourself. These are good things. It's good to know these things about ourselves. But, you know, what happens is, we take good things, and in our sinfulness, we use them in the wrong way. We overdo it. And what I What we see in our culture and celebrate our sparkle ends with celebrating my sparkle. Like, that's it. Like, I celebrate my sparkle, you celebrate yours. But what about celebrating the sparkle of another person? Like celebrating Dorothy's sparkle? Or what about celebrating the one who made you sparkle? Like, where is that in the song? But it's not there. Right? And so when we only look at ourselves, we can become what people call narcissists. Narcissistic. Absorbed in our own self. Absorbed with our own wants. Absorbed with our own goodness. Absorbed with our own sparkle. And when we do that, we no longer shine. When we do that, we do not give God the glory that is His due. In fact, this kind of self-love becomes a form of self-hatred. It's actually harmful to focus on yourself that much, and it's not good for other people either. Self-love done too much becomes self-hate. And Christians, we don't pattern our love on the love of the world. We have to beware of celebrating our sparkle in the wrong way. We have to instead have our love patterned on Jesus' love. Our love gets patterned on Jesus' love. That is what we are after. And that's what this passage is about. The very first verse. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This whole passage is beginning with Jesus' love. This whole section of the gospel, really, that begins in 13:1, is beginning with Jesus' love. And so now we need to pay attention to what does his love look like? What does his love sound like? What does his love feel like? And what does he do? As we spoke about last week, he acts it out. He does the story of Christmas and Easter. He is at the head of the table, the position of honor. He's the rabbi, wearing rabbi's clothing, reclining at table, and yet he gets up from his position of honor, leaves his position of honor, and he takes off the rabbi's clothing and he puts around a towel. By tying that towel around his waist, he is taking the form of a slave in their culture. He who was at the highest position has now put himself at the lowest position. He who is the teacher and Lord of his disciples is now putting himself in the position of servant of his disciples. And he doesn't just act like it, he lives it out. He gets down to their dirty, stinky feet, and he washes their feet, and he dries them with the towel. You see, we've gone from Christmas with Jesus, God the Son, leaving heaven and coming to earth and becoming a man, taking the form of a servant. He then goes to the cross to wash us of our sins because he loves us. And then he rises again, and he ascends to the Father, taking his place of honor again. And that's exactly what he does. He takes off the towel, and he goes back to the place of honor at the table. Now, this love is accomplishing a lot of things. As I've already mentioned, the washing of the disciples' feet has to do with him dying for their sins, taking away that which was filthy, taking that off of them, taking that upon himself, on his towel, on his hands, willingly doing so, so that you no longer are unclean, but absolutely clean. And you can stand, not only stand, but live. Not only live, but live forever in the presence of a holy and pure God. That is part of what his love accomplishes. But we have to also see what is going on. His love looks a certain way. His love is teaching us something. You know, when God the Father sent God the Son, right? Really quickly. The Bible teaches that there's one God who created all things. One God who's making everything new. And that one God is three in person, Father, Son, and Spirit. If you try to understand it, your head will blow off your shoulders. You can't, because he's God. His math ain't our math, okay? He created math. But listen, the Father sent the Son. And when he sent the Son, he didn't say, hey, Jesus, there are some people down there. They got some problems. Jesus says, oh, really? Yeah. He's like, yeah, they've got, you know, they've done some bad things. Like, oh, really? What did they do? Oh, they cheated on a test once. Oh, really? Yeah, a couple of them stole a pen at work, you know. Oh, okay. Yeah, one time they said something mean to somebody. I think they called him, like, a nanny-nanny boo-boo. You know. But, you know, I'm holy, and so they can't be in my presence if they do that kind of thing, right? I want them to be with me. And Jesus says, well, you know, they've done some bad things that are kind of like not that bad. They're respectable sins. You know, I can, not too bad. I guess I'll do it for them. I guess I'll do it for them. And then he goes down and then he does it. And then he dies on the cross and he goes back to the God in heaven. And he's like, you know what, God? It turns out those people are a lot worse than you told me. And I mean, I'd already signed up and I had to do it, but I'm not happy about it. Is that how it went? No, in heaven, God the Father and Jesus knew just how awful sin had gotten in us. He knows the violent thoughts. He knows the aberrant sexuality. He knows the wrong desires. He knows the idolatry. He knows the love of self above all others. He knows the complete apathy and even antagonism towards him. And with all of that, with all of that shame, with all of the things that you would not even like to name, probably with all of what you probably are trying to ignore about what goes on in your heart, they knew it better than you do yourself. And they made a plan, and the Son came to wash that off of you because they love you and they know you. They know you so deeply, they know you better than you know yourself, and they love you still. And Jesus was sent to deal with it, and he did so happily. And there's more. When we see this kind of love, we also see this pattern of Jesus going from a very, very high place, the highest place possible. He is the living God. He is in heaven. And he's going down to the lowest place possible for you. He didn't have to. We didn't like earn him doing that or something. He willingly submitted himself to us, became our servant, went from the highest place to the lowest place. He went from the place of honor to the place of shame. And you know what the funny thing is? That was his honor. That was his glory. His glory was that he would be willing to make himself low. Why are people wearing chains with crosses on them today? Because Jesus went to the cross. That was his glory. And so this pattern of love that I'm telling you about, this is the pattern of love for Christians. Now Judas is there, and he's about to betray Jesus. And so although Judas is getting his feet washed, the whole time he's getting his feet washed, he's got up the stop sign. He's got up the red light in his soul. He's got up the no. Now he's getting his feet washed, but his hand is like this to Jesus' love. That's not the pattern he's receiving. Instead, he's receiving a different kind of pattern into his life. He's accepting the world's definition of love, of self-love, of self-regard, of look out for number one, of put your foot on the neck of your enemy and squash him, of always look good, never look bad, of don't submit yourself to anybody else, make everybody submit themselves to you. Find a way to do that, even if you use sadness and fear, and just somehow make everybody pay attention to you because you're the most important person, you're the focus of life, the world revolves around you. That's the love that Judas is like, yeah, let's have it. And that's the love that goes through him. Because he takes Jesus out of habit and betrays him. But Jesus says, that's not the love that you were made for. That's not the love that I came to give. And in verse 12, let's look at verse 12. It says, when he had washed their feet, he put on his armor, got under his outer garments and resumed his place and said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? And then he says this, verse 15, I have given you an example. The word example can also be translated pattern. And you guys know about pattern making. All of us know about pattern making. My daughter Annalise has a little pad that we got from the library, and it has all these learning games on it. And one day she said, Daddy, can you come help me? I was like, happy to, because I know I'm just going to ace this thing. Like, I'm really good on this pad. Okay? And she's like, come on, help me with this pattern. I sit down, scribble the dog. He's about to throw a party. He's got a banner he's putting on the wall. Red, blue, yellow. Red, blue, yellow. Red, up. Oh. Now it's Lisi's turn. What goes next? Right? And she can't figure it out. Scribble the dog is looking at her like, could you, come on? I want to have this party. So Daddy's super smart. Blue, yellow. So Lisi takes it. Red, blue, yellow. Learn the pattern. You have to pay attention to a pattern. You have to entrust yourself to that pattern. And you have to take action on that pattern. And when she took action on that pattern, what happened? Scribble the dog had a big celebration. He had a big party. In the same way, we have been given an example. The first thing that must happen if you are to learn this way of life is you must not put up the red light to Jesus' love, but you must put up the red light to the world's kind of love, to the world's message of celebrate your sparkle. And instead, you need to put up the green light that says, I know I am important, and I know I do matter tremendously, because God sent His Son to wash me clean despite everything that I had done wrong. We must open ourselves to His love. We must receive His love. In other words, we also must pay attention to what He's done. We need to pay attention to the pattern of Christ's story, His descent to the lowest place, His death, His resurrection, His ascending back to the highest place to continue to serve us. We must pay attention to this pattern. We must receive this pattern. We must entrust ourselves to Him who lives out this pattern. And then we need to take steps to put it into practice. And the only way we can put it into practice is because of the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus went back to His place, when He was at the Father's, when He went back to the Father's right hand, where He still is, He poured out His Spirit upon His people so that we can live out this pattern. So the first thing you do, if you want to have the green light, not the red light, but the green light, the welcoming of Jesus' love, pray. We cannot do this without God's help. It is impossible. You cannot do this in your own strength. The way of the world is way too easy, way too attractive, and the way that sin has corrupted us on the inside, it's way too, makes too much sense to us. The way of Jesus doesn't make any sense at all. It's not as attractive. But with the Spirit of God, you will see more and more clearly, this is what I was made for, and this is my glory as a person made in the image of God. So pray. If you want to live like this, you must pray every single day, maybe every single hour, maybe in the middle of that hard conversation with your friend or coworker or neighbor or spouse, because without the Spirit, we can't do it. And here's the next thing. You might think, okay, I've got to do something like just wild and crazy love, like go out and be crucified for somebody. By the way, you shouldn't be crucified for somebody because you can't die for their sins. You can't. That's the part of Jesus' love we're not trying to imitate here. That's the part of the pattern we're not going to take care of. He already did that for us. But let's start small. But in starting small, start really, really big. You ready? This is the pattern of Jesus' love that I want you to begin putting on. Listen. Do you know what happens a lot of times when I'm talking to somebody and they're telling me stuff? I'm thinking about the Redskins game. I'm thinking about my schedule. I'm thinking about what I have to do after this conversation. I'm thinking about what I need to say to them. I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about my sparkle. Okay? Not really thinking about what they're saying. But think about this. This is so much like Jesus' love. I put off my interest in the Redskins game. I put off my concern about my schedule. I put off all of those things that are on my mind, and I set them aside, and I try to take the form of your servant and listen to your life and listen to what's going on with you and just pay attention to what you're saying. This will profoundly change this church, your friendships, your relationship with your teacher and your boss, your marriage. Listening like Jesus will change your life. It will change the lives of those around you. But there's more than that. It's not just listen, but it's speak. Some of you may be very good listeners. But part of this way of loving like Jesus, it also means putting ourselves in a place of vulnerability, isn't it? Jesus washed Judas's feet, the one who would betray him. He opens himself up to us. Are you opening yourself up to others? We have to make sure we're doing it wisely, but do you let people in? Or are you a wall? Loving like Jesus means loving other people enough to give them yourself. I hope you know that when I say that the world's love and celebrating your sparkle, I hope you know that I'm not saying that you should hate yourself. Jesus actually wants you to love yourself the way you always should have loved yourself. You are important. Jesus did die for you. And you need to open yourself up to people. You need to let them know what's going on inside. It's not manly to just be a stone wall. And I can say that because Jesus wasn't. He invited us in. It's not manly or womanly to not have emotions. You've got them. You can't get away from them. You are made with them. Who are you sharing them with? Who are you working through with your pain, your guilt, your sadness, your fears? You're going to do it all alone? You can't. Let somebody love you. It's the only way you're going to make progress in this Christian life. And finally, evangelism. How many of us do evangelism when we do it? Out of just sheer duty. Sort of like, I got to do it. Hey, Jesus died for you. Okay, done. Check. What about doing evangelism after the pattern of Jesus' love? Saying, I know this person may not like it if I share with them about Jesus. But I'm willing to, as it were, wash their feet, even if I might be rejected. Just like Judas' feet got washed. And Judas rejected it. So pay attention to the pattern. Pay attention to the pattern of Jesus' love. Receive Jesus' love. And then live Jesus' love. And that's what this meal is about in certain respects. This meal is about learning the pattern. God became man. And on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, all of you." On the same night, he showed them that pattern. The Son of God, who became man, said, "This is my blood shed for you. Take and drink, all of you." If you're here and you've yet to be baptized and believe in Jesus, please let the bread and the cup pass by for now, but don't let the moment pass. Now is the time to put up the green light to receive Jesus' love. If you have been baptized, you have believed, you have trusted, you have received this love. No matter what church you're coming from, please join us in this family meal.